Welcome to SDI Encounters, a podcast from Spiritual Directors International. I'm Matt Whitney. Thank you so much for listening. I offer a heartfelt welcome to new listeners and a welcome back to existing subscribers. If you like this show, please do click on the subscribe button. Here we offer a wide range of perspectives, stories, and conversations centered around community, spiritual companionship, and spiritual care. You'll find additional information, including videos, webinars, and digital publications at our website, sdiworld.org. So with this episode, I'm going to try a new running series called My Boss is a Zen Priest. So my boss is SDI's Executive Director, Reverend Sefu Anil Singh Molaris. He's my manager, and he provides oversight on all of the things that I'm working on, including this podcast. And he's an ordained priest in the Zen Buddhist tradition. We have weekly one-on-one check-in meetings where I tell him about the things I'm working on, and he provides feedback and insight into those things. And because we work at SDI, and my boss is a Zen priest, that insight and conversation often delve into deep dives around spirituality. I take my notes into his office. He's often wearing his robes. And our discussion can go from discussing a P&L spreadsheet to being given a koan to meditate on for a while. Oftentimes, I come out of these one-on-one meetings wishing I'd had a recorder because we often have these really profound conversations. So I'm just going to start doing that and using them for the podcast, and we'll see where the conversations go. So this past week, the main things I've been working on are the photography webinar, contemplative photography, which has resonated with a lot of people.
Resonated with me?
Yeah. There's both the... So there's two components to this, which we're actively unpacking through this webinar. There's the photography component, which is receiving an image as a kind of individual contemplative practice, receiving an image. And then there's the use of the image as a medium for companionship. So maybe you shared with me this morning in email a photo that you took when you were in your winter session, which is a week long meditation. I guess we call it a retreat. But it sounds pretty grueling.
Yeah.
And you received an image. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah. So our winter session or intensive is the most intensive one of the year. And it's 8 days long, and we can be meditating up to, or busy up to 22 hours a day, mm-hmm. 2 hours of sleep, which puts you in a very special place, an arduous and rigorous place, but also the in that liminal space, in that alternate level of awareness. And so when I took that picture, I was very much in that state. And not on purpose, because I had taken a bunch of other pictures on purpose and none of them were coming out. And that one was unthinking. It was kind of, you know, going back in and, you know, just like, oh, I don't know why, but I just snapped one. Mm. And so what was interesting to me about that picture, and this was inspired by your webinar and the discussions around it that you and Stephen have been having, mm-hmm. was that there seems to be, and you're the professional, but there seems to be a space where you are no longer, there's no distinction between object and subject. You're no longer snapping a picture of something, not even receiving it. You kind of become one with it.
Yeah.
Right? You and the image are one. Hmm. And it comes out, it comes through. I mean, the state of mind of the photographer and the state of being of whatever's being photographed are one and the same. and this thing, and I'm not sure how that happens, but I've seen it in many images, and those are the images, as you were saying, that you kind of keep having to look at again and again and again and again. I've seen it, I remember seeing a picture as a youngster, I think it was an indigenous elder from the 1920s. And there was something about his face that was so powerful and so compelling that I would just keep opening it and opening it and never get tired of looking at it. Because something about the essence of the universe was being conveyed to me.
Yeah.
So it made me think that, and you spoke about spiritual direction as kind of listening into being.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that I wanted to take that a step further and talk about the five senses into being, right? Of hearing into being, of viewing, and particularly with artistic works and graphic works, is of viewing into being.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even those words into, you know, viewing into being is just, can be summarized as being, you know, pure being or total immersive being. So those vehicles that, whether it's photographs, whether it's art, whether it's music, whether it's food, whether it's any of our five senses, touch and so on, just allow us to commune, to become one with everything that surrounds us, and the relevancy of that to spiritual companionship and spiritual direction.
Okay, I'm exploding a little bit right now, mm-hmm. Because of this idea of being, mm-hmm. taking something, listening into being, mm-hmm. seeing into being, hearing into being, tasting into being. What is being?
It's a B with a capital B.
Yes.
Right? It's a capital B, I should say. It's not just our small, you know, in Hinduism we talk about the small ego and the big ego. Well, the small self, actually, technically, it's the small self, which is our own individual bodies and egos, and then the big self, which is Brahman, which is the universe, which mm-hmm. is this bigger consciousness.
Yeah.
And so I'd be distinguishing between being small b being, you and I, and being God, you know, not being as God, not being God.
Yeah.
Don't get me
so
wrong.
There's like, I'm just hanging out, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm just sitting here. That's a form of being. Mm-hmm. The name of God in the Hebrew Bible is I am. Right? And in the New Testament, Jesus makes all these I am statements.
As I am.
Yes. Rabbi Ted Falcon has an interesting take on that. I am is. Mm-hmm. He adds the word is. So like I, instead of Jesus saying I am the way, he says I am is the way.
Mm-hmm.
Just completely turns that back into oneself.
Yeah.
To just be existing. Is of God.
Yeah. I think I know where you're going. In
I don't know where I'm going.
Well,
I think I do, but it's also...
In Zen, we talk about that as thusness, mm-hmm. right? Which is essential being. And it's even... It's being beyond being, right? It's that from which we spring and to which we return. It's the eternal essence, the immutable eternal essence. And that's our wellspring. That's our wellspring beyond these bodies and beyond life and death itself, right? That's, and it's always there. It's always here. It's here right now. And yet we don't recognize it as such most of the time. But there are times when we do, as young children, we're talking about our children this morning, they feel it, and they feel it unthinkingly, And only when they reflect back on those moments do they recognize them for what they were, because they were just natural moments. It's like, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm a 6-year-old, I'm playing around, or I'm walking through a church, or I'm standing on the top of a mountain, and I just stop dead in my tracks and embrace the universe, yeah. Or it embraces me. Mm. And, you know, I'm 6 years old, so I just go, oh, wow, cool, and move on. And yet that moment that moment lingers, so that, you know, as you get older, you kind of look back and go, why is that moment sticking with me? I remember having moments like this when I was walking home from the Boy Scouts at age 6 or 7. I'd walk back every kilometer back to our home, and thinking, I'm always going to remember this moment. Mm-hmm. And I do. I do right now. I mean, yeah. I know exactly where I was and how I was feeling. So I think those are the moments that we're talking about, of deep immersive union. And we were also talking about art and music and spiritual companions being able to help us remember that, those moments. Mm-hmm. Or not even remember, live into.
Yeah.
Live into that pure being.
Is it learning how to be more receptive to that thusness? Because, you know, when we're, you know, 40 and have an experience
for
like
example,
that,
yeah.
For example, or let's just say 41,
yeah.
And there's like a glimmer of that. And, you know, I experienced that through this companioning session I had with Diane Millis on the webinar. I had a photo of the lake, these buoys kind of going out into this sort of deep place, and as we talked through it, I found that I was like hungry for that depth. Mm-hmm. It's like treading water in a deep ocean. Mm-hmm. Where you have a moment of recognizing that it's deep water. Mm-hmm. Right underneath you is murky depth, and for me it was like that. I don't like thinking about that. But I'm gonna back off from that. But in retrospect, kind of like, maybe I need to dwell in that space a little more, mm-hmm. be more cognizant of it.
Yeah.
And that was like a big sort of breakthrough for me, right? It was like, oh, I gotta talk about this more. Whereas the 6-year-old is like, yeah, water's deep. I don't know what the big deal is,
yes.
You know?
Yes, yeah,
so
we
overthink
it. Yeah.
It's a receptivity thing where we learn to stop overthinking these things so much, or stop striving for them, even though our contemplative practice is to attune us to that receptivity. It's sort of this paradox, I think, where we're both practicing to bring our intentions to the thusness, even though we're, for whatever reasons, we're not always receptive to it.
Support for this podcast comes from Spiritual Companionship for Our Times, SDI's annual gathering of spiritual companions happening in Santa Fe, New Mexico, April 23rd through 26th, 2020. Registrations are now open with super early bird pricing available through September 15th. We'll be celebrating SDI's 30th anniversary and charting the road ahead as we seek to welcome more and more people to the transformational gifts of spiritual companionship, and to make this healing modality available to every person on the planet. Learn more now about our annual conference at www.sdievents.org. And now here's part two of our conversation.
There's a duality, right? Our hearts long for the divine. Deeply, deeply, right? It comes out in all sorts of ways. You can't escape it. Nobody can escape it. Our hearts long for the divine. And as you say, our hearts also dread the divine. And when I say dread divine, it's dread the recognition that this life that we're living is finite, that these people that we love, our partners, our children, our close friends, are also finite and impermanent. And we, of course, recoil instinctively at the realization that this longing for the divine means an acceptance of the impermanence of everything that we hold true in on this relative level that we of our daily existence. And so there's that tension between, I know there's a part of me that is immutable and transcendent and always connected, but that means I need to give up my partner or my attachment to my partner, to my children, to my loved ones, to everything I've ever accomplished, to the certificates up on the wall or the books that I've written or the music that I've composed or the art that I've produced. None of that is going to matter. It's all going to dissolve into this thusness. And so we fear it and we long for it at the same time.
Yeah. It's practice, learning to practice non-attachment.
Exactly.
To all these things.
Well, not just non-attachment. I think it's just learning to accept things as they are, right? Little children understand this really well because they haven't been conditioned into the fear response, right? They just kind of, at their best, they kind of saunter through and they go, oh, yeah. Yeah, I just touched the face of God. Okay, that was great. You know, now let me go back and play with my toys, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And in some sense, later in life, we're trying to recultivate that sense of, oh, wow, I just walked through, you know, the extreme reaches of the universe or the pure land or heaven or however you want to call it. And, okay, now it's done. Let me get back to, you know, sweeping the floor or whatever seemingly tedious task I have to accomplish today. So it's always there. It's super easy to get to. And as we get older, it gets harder and harder to get to, to get back to, because we have more to lose, or we're conditioned into thinking we have more to lose.
Touching the divine should not be a big deal.
No, in fact, we're doing it right now. Everybody listening to this is doing it. And it's just a recognition of we've spoken about this in the past, you know, how big, what a wonderful miracle it is to be having this conversation. What a wonderful miracle it is that people can listen to this conversation and understand what we're saying. I have a Zen teacher who speaks about this as the universe speaking to itself. Right, you and I are the universe speaking to itself. Everyone listening to this podcast is the universe listening to itself. There's that deep recognition that the sense of community that we all feel with each other is not accidental. We're not isolated, discrete particles. We're part of a greater whole. And I don't say that in some easy way, because I do think that unfortunately regaining that awareness involves accepting loss, deep loss, right? Painful loss, accepting that there are certain things, in fact most things, that we don't control, and that no matter how hard we fight and resist and our deepest efforts, nothing is going to last. We're not going to last, and nothing that we love is going to last on the surface, except this dustness, this isness, this being with a capital B, or God with a capital G, that that we know is always there because that's where we come from.
That the thisness is not attached to this job, this relationship, this organization, this life. Although, but it is, I mean, we participate in it, thus the being, and yet it, that thisness will continue on independently of all of these other things.
Well, which brings us to freedom, right? What is freedom really? And I think that's what spiritual companions and spiritual directors help us do, in the process helping themselves, by the way, is a recognition that freedom means acceptance. Freedom means awareness of impermanence. That's a Buddhist framework, but it's also means an acceptance of freedom. I listened to Stephen Colbert talking the other day in an interview with Anderson Cooper about the loss of his father and siblings, or both of his parents, I can't remember. But
it was his father and brother, and maybe it was two brothers.
Two brothers to a plane crash when he was 10 years old. And how he had come to accept that as a gift from God. And that is, and you can imagine how much pain and suffering and loss he must have felt, and probably still feels. But the recognition that something bigger is going on that makes even tragic events like that meaningful and purposeful and relevant, that struck me as a really wonderfully wise, insightful, if painful moment.
Yeah.
You know, that even that kind of loss is a blessing from God, to use the terminology he used, or an acceptance that, you know, everything's impermanent. That's just the way things are.
So to tie this back to your winter sesshin, do you experience that through the photograph that you received?
Yes. Yes. That particular photograph is stark, cold. Nothing's moving, right? It's very still water, very, very still water. And yet, the essence is there. That essence that we've been talking about is there. And that's freedom. That's freedom. And, you know, that goes back to longing for that kind of freedom, to be released from the bonds of our desperate delusions. Of our desperate attachments, if you will.
Yeah. I'm taking some time off to go hiking this weekend. And I'm just trying to compare and contrast the cloudy gray stillness of the December sesshin to what I hope to experience, which is high alpine wildflowers and meadows with Tahoma and the ever-present mountain and that thisness there too. But I'm anticipating that.
Yeah. I think it's the same thing. I think it's it's quiet, it's still, and it goes on forever. It's we're both small little specks up on that mountain, and yet we're one with the vastness of the view, the 360 view that you have up there.
Yeah.
At the same time. And so the little becomes the large and the large becomes the small, right? We always talk about how we contain the entire universe within us.
Yeah.
And vice versa. The universe contains us completely as well. And experiencing that awareness vividly and richly is what your hopefully the experience you'll have this weekend or the next few days, and the experience that I had with that picture have in common.
Cool. Well, I'll let you know, because I'll take lots of photos. But and even though the thisness will be in all of it, will I receive the thisness through one of them? We will find out.
Probably the last afterthought shot.
Yeah, or the one where I'm most tired.
Mm-hmm. The one where you're not trying.
Yes, yeah.
The ones.
Be more well, one big insight that I've had recently is how silence is a teacher. It might be the best teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for feedback on that.
I think that's a
breakthrough.
Yeah, I think silence is the key that opens the door. To use a metaphor, right? Be still. Mm-hmm. Be still. And be still means be quiet, still your ego, still your thoughts, and just enter gently. I kind of think that that's the passageway from that we experience when we come into this world and that we experience when our mortal, these bodies fall away, is that stillness and that merging or that flowing back into that stream.
Mm-hmm.
So I think silence is the secret handshake. It's the secret key that opens the door.
Yeah, it is the most intentional form of being that I have encountered.
Well, and it feeds us, it nurtures us, and it provides, you know, it's kind of like recharging our batteries. We need, in order to speak, we need moments of silence. In order to act, we need to be grounded. And silence and peaceful breathing are the mechanisms where our immersion, re-immersion is facilitated.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with what you just said.
Cool. I'm hoping for a lot of that this weekend.
I'm hoping that you experience it as well.
Thanks.
This is Matt Whitney with Spiritual Directors International. Thanks again for listening. Your time and your presence here are deeply appreciated. If you liked this show and would like us to continue making them, please do subscribe now while it's fresh on your mind. Also, we would love to hear from you, so please feel free to send in your comments and suggestions to the email address podcast@sdiworld.org. To learn more about spiritual companionship and ways that you can plug in and join our community, visit us at our website at www.sdiworld.org. Thank you. Blessings and peace on your day, and may you share blessings and peace to others.